in a series right now called Discover Jesus. And if you weren't here last week, I explained that we had been in a series called Discover the Bible. We mostly went through the Old Testament. And so this is really an extension of that series, getting into the New Testament now. We're going to be going through the Gospels and looking at Jesus, the person of Jesus, his mission, his character, his power, his sacrifice, all the elements of who Jesus is. And so we started last week talking about the Messiah and what the Old Testament saints were looking for in the Messiah, and then comparing that with what actually happened when the Messiah came on the scene. And this week we're going to get into the mission of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how long we're going to be on this, because when I looked at it, there were really seven things that Jesus specifically said he came to do. I mean, he said more than that, but they could all be kind of put under seven headings. And we're only going to talk about one of those this morning. So I don't know if we're going to, I don't know how long we're going to be on this. Probably we'll get through a few, maybe one or two each week. But this morning we're only going to get through one aspect of it. And it's a big part of why Jesus came. So I want you to turn to John chapter 18. We're going to start there this morning. John chapter 18, verse 36. And I want us to take just a moment to pray before we read the scripture. Let's join our faith together. Father, we are just so thankful for your word. God, we depend on your word. We need your word. We know that your word brings light, truth, and understanding, God. It opens our mind to see and gives us that revelation knowledge that we need to be able to follow you. So I pray today over our hearts, over our spiritual eyes and ears, that we could hear the word and receive the word of God by faith. Lord, let it change us. Let it knock off all of those old rough edges that don't need to be there, Lord, and let us be shaped into your image. We humbly submit ourselves under your word by the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. So John chapter 18, Jesus is going to give us one of the primary reasons why he came and what one of the major parts of his mission was. He's talking to Pontius Pilate right before being crucified. Verse 36, it says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "Well, you say that I'm a king, but for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." So Jesus explains to Pilate, this is the reason why I came into the earth. It's a very, very simple mission, and it is to bring the truth. Now, on the surface, when you hear that, it doesn't seem that impactful, because it's something we're kind of used to hearing. But this is the primary part of Jesus' mission. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he said it another way. Actually, he said this many, many, many times. You'd be shocked to read through the New Testament just to find out how many times this concept of light and darkness is discussed. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, when you read through the scripture, what you need to understand, because you're going to see these terms, light and darkness, a lot. You're going to read about the kingdom of light. You're going to read about the kingdom of darkness. You're going to read about the sons of light. You're going to read about the sons of darkness. You're going to read about us being transferred from the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of light. And so this word and this phrase is going to come up a lot, this contrast between light and darkness. But what you need to understand is that light is really a symbol. It's not about light itself. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he's actually referencing something. And what in Scripture, what we find out is that light is truth. Light is revelation. Darkness is deception. Darkness is ignorance. When light comes in, darkness is dispelled. Said another way, when truth comes in, lies are dispelled. So when Jesus said, I came to bring truth, my primary mission was to bring truth. What he is saying is this world is living and operating under lies and deception and ignorance. And so when we have lies and we have deception and we have ignorance in our lives, then we act out of that lie and out of that deception and out of that ignorance. And that's where we get all the problems that are happening in this world. You know, if I asked you this morning, because on the surface we know this statement is true, none of us have complete and only light in our minds, right? There's going to be areas of darkness, meaning areas of ignorance or areas of deception or areas where we are wrong about something. There's not a person in here that has only 100% light. Okay? Y'all with me on that, right? Y'all not? Okay. So not a person in here has 100% light. But see, when I say that, most of us, when we're walking around on a daily basis, no one's walking around thinking about and conscious or aware of the darkness that you still have in your mind. And Jesus actually addressed this in one of his sermons in the Gospels, where he said, he was talking about light and darkness in a person's life, and he said, oh, and how dark that darkness is if the darkness that you have you actually think is light. And what he's saying is that people have a tendency to live and think like, oh, I see everything correctly. I see everything correct. I see everything as light and truth. But you're not aware of the darkness that's still in your mind. The problem is, it's those areas of darkness that's derailing things in our lives. It's those areas of wrong thinking that don't line up with the scripture. It's those areas of deception. It's those areas of lies that are actually derailing us and causing brokenness and sin and all kinds of problems in the world. And here's what Jesus said: I am the light of the world. I came to bring truth so that men could see it and contrast it to the darkness that's in their mind. You know, this is what the gospel is supposed to be in the world. It's supposed to be a contrast. It's supposed to be abrasive to the darkness. It's supposed to be a contrast to where we say, this is how the world thinks, but this is how God thinks. This is truth. This is lie. And it's supposed to be a contrast. So Jesus came into the world to bring that light. How did Jesus do this primarily? He did this through his preaching. He did this through preaching. If you read the Gospels, you're going to read sermon after sermon after sermon. Now, what's happening this morning is I have a lot of thoughts in my mind, and I'm trying to transmit them to your mind. And if we didn't have to use words, then it would be like telepathy, right? It would be like a seamless transmission. There would be nothing lost in translation. We wouldn't be dependent on my ability to communicate. We wouldn't be dependent on my tone of voice or how clear I articulated it. It could just be a seamless, like, you know, like Bluetooth, where you bring the phones together and just transfers the zzz, just right over. Wouldn't that be something? If I could just transmit what's in my mind. Wouldn't it be something if God could just transmit what's in his mind directly to your mind, sort of like, you know, the Matrix, where you just download something to somebody's mind? That would be awesome. We would love that. But this is the method that God has chosen: preaching, to communicate light. Jesus did it. When Jesus came on the scene, his primary mission was to transmit light, and the primary way that he did it was through preaching. What is preaching? Well, it's really just what I said. It's just a transmission of a message. It's just a communication of a message. I'm taking thoughts that are in my mind. And have you ever, some of us that might not be very good communicators, I think a lot of men sometimes fall into this category. It's like you're having a difficult conversation with your wife, and it's like, I know what I want to say, and I know it makes sense. I just can't put it in a way that is making sense to you, but it makes sense up here. But the communication is the barrier, right? And but it's the method that Jesus used to communicate it. Now, we have a lot of things going on when preaching is happening. A lot of things going on. You have what's going on the sender's end, and then you have what's going on the receiver's end. And from Scripture, a lot of times the message is not received, the transmission is not received because of something on the receiver's end. Okay, Jesus, when he tries to explain this, he talks about it as soil. He says there's different types of soil. The seed is the same, but the soil is different, so it doesn't receive it all the same. There were people that did not receive the perfect transmission of truth that Jesus came to bring. There were people that did not receive it because they did not have faith. Simple as that. They looked at him, they said, this is the son of a carpenter. This is not the son of God. And so they rejected his message. They did not receive it by faith. The problem wasn't on the sender's end. It was on the receiver's end, right? This was the primary way that Jesus brought light into the world. By the way, this is the way that we primarily continue to bring light and spread light in the world, is through preaching. Not necessarily just through the pulpit, because every one of us has a message to preach. Remember, preaching is just simply transmission of a message. And you can do that. Everybody can do that. It's not just pastors that are called to preach. Every Christian is called to preach. You might not be called to preach in front of a big group of people, but yeah, one-to-one, mind-to-mind, thought-to-thought, you are called to transmit this message of light everywhere that you go. It's part of our calling. When Jesus left, he left us with that calling. Amen? How many of you know that the church is not the only group that is preaching? There are a lot of groups that are preaching right now, that are spreading a message, that are spreading a message of lies oftentimes. Right now, not to pick on any one specific thing, but if you look around our world right now, there has been a lot of preaching recently about transgender ideology, right? We've all heard this. This is one that everybody knows about. The level of deception is staggering, right? It's hard to even comprehend the level of deception that people are walking in over that. But listen, it's just the transmission of a message. And it's demonstrating how not only does light spread, it's demonstrating how darkness spreads as well. And there are people that are preaching that message. There are people that are preaching it in large audiences like we have this morning. There are people that just one-to-one. One-to-one, spreading that ideology everywhere they go. I witnessed this in person just the other day. I was at a coffee shop, and I love to work in coffee shops. I love different kinds of coffee shops. I go to different coffee shops. I enjoy working in that environment. I was talking to Pastor Chris Scroggs, and he told me that he has ADD, so he can't work in a coffee shop. He said all he does is just watch. He can't get anything done. I'm the opposite. Like, I tune everything out, and I'm zoned in. But a lot of times I have my earbuds, and so I don't necessarily hear what's going on around me. But this particular day, I had forgotten my earbuds, and so, which it doesn't bother me, but I prefer to have them, but I didn't have them that day. So I was doing some work, and I heard a conversation that sparked my ear behind the counter of the coffee shop. There was two of the workers that were there, and one of the girls was explaining that she was transgender. And the other man was explaining that he was homosexual. So we had a transgender and a homosexual person that were talking. And they were explaining, and one of them asked the question, I think it was the transgender girl, she asked the man, she said, when did you first know that you were gay? And he said, this, I'm just repeating what he said. He said, well, it was when I was a young boy. He said, I read a book. And when I read that book, I had the thought, I wonder if I'm gay. This is what he told her. And then she said, well, it was very similar for me. She said, I was watching a movie. And she said, I saw the movie and began to realize, I wonder if I'm, because she said she started out gay. So she said, I watched a movie and I wondered if I was gay. And then she said later the transgender thing came along. You see, that's preaching. This, it's not just Jesus, it's not just Christians that have a message to spread. It's light versus darkness. And when I hear somebody say and explain how darkness came into their mind just from a simple thought, I read some information, and what is a book, by the way? It's somebody's thoughts that were written down. It's transmitting of information, that's all it is, but it's preaching. And when I hear somebody say, I read a book and a thought popped in my head, And then that thought didn't go away. And that thought stayed, and I thought on it for days, and I thought on it ongoing, and thought on it, and thought on it, until eventually what happened, it took root in my heart. You see, it's not just the gospel that works this way. This is a principle in general that works in our life and in our world. And this is why Jesus came, to bring light and truth and revelation into our lives and into our world. There are two competing sides of this. There is light and there is darkness. And you as a believer, me as a believer, as the church of Jesus Christ, our message is to boldly proclaim the truth and the light of the gospel. When we pull this back, okay, when we dial it back, when we in timidity and in shame or worried about hurting feelings or any of that, when we dial it back, we are literally costing people their lives. It is causing people's lives to encounter destruction, pain, and brokenness in their life when we don't proclaim boldly the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why he came, and it changes everything. When churches are bold and they proclaim the message of Jesus, we're literally picking up his mantle and the baton that he left for us, and we're continuing his ministry. We're continuing his message, bringing light to the world. Amen? Yeah. See, preaching, whether for light or darkness, preaching is a battle for the mind. It's a battle over a person's mind. Again, we have a lot of different minds in this room this morning. Some are very, very, very open to the truth. Some are very, very, very close. We just got a little bitty crack and we're trying to like shove it in. Okay, but we got a bunch of different minds in here this morning. And preaching is a battle for the mind. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 7. The reason it's a battle for the mind is because the mind controls the will and the actions of a person. You know, you could say it like this, thoughts turn into words, words turn into action, actions turn into habits, habits turn into destinies. That's the progression. But it all goes back to our thinking. And this is why this is the first part of Jesus' mission. And this is why we make a mistake when we only try to reform behavior, right? You've heard this, that church, when religion just tries to reform behavior. Stop doing this, start doing that. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus went for the mind. His main way of changing people was through preaching and bringing light and understanding to our mind. Because if you don't change the mind and heart first, and you try to just reform action, but the heart stays the same, eventually the action is going to go back in line with the heart and mind. So you can't just, even in parenting, for example, you can't just tell your kids, don't do that. Why? Because I said so. That's not good enough. That's just changing behavior. We can't just change behavior. We have to change minds and hearts. It's a little bit harder to do, but it's done through teaching, preaching, and communicating. This is how Jesus did it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. God is explaining this to Jeremiah. He tells Jeremiah he's got a powerful message for the nation of Israel and other nations as well. And Jeremiah responds in verse 7. He says, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, because Jeremiah was saying, man, I'm too young to do this. I'm too young to be your spokesperson. No one's going to listen to me. He said, do not say I'm only a youth, for to who all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. I hope you can begin to grasp how critical this is. Jesus said in the New Testament, he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. Why? Because these words are critical. This information that I'm transmitting has the power to bring life, and I don't want to change it at all, because it will lose its power to change, to bring light. If I take God's word and I alter it in any way, now I'm causing it to lose its ability to bring light into a person's mind. And if I change it too much, now what I'm actually doing is bringing darkness. So he said, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Why would he have been afraid? Because there are a lot of minds that are very resistant to what he's going to say. Even just earlier, we were talking about transgender and homosexuality. That's not a popular topic in this climate, in this generation. Much easier to just stay away from that, isn't it? There's a lot of very unpopular things that God commands us to speak about. And what he says is, do not be afraid. Another way of saying it, do not be a coward. Another way of saying it, don't care more about your popularity or what people can do to you than what God thinks. Okay? Do what I tell you to do. Say what I tell you to say. Why? Because I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Why is God so adamant about it? Because it's the only way that light is spread. It's the only way that truth comes, and it's the only way that lives are transformed. Is when pure, unadulterated truth is brought, and not everybody's going to receive it because the soil is different. But if a person is going to receive it, that truth has the power to change their life and change not only their life, but their family's life and literally generations to come. Just the entrance of the truth and the light of God's word. Verse 9, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms. Look at what he is telling him, how powerful his words are. He says, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. How? Through preaching. Jeremiah never lifted a sword. He never entered into any kind of battle. He never led a rebellion. He never did anything that we would think normally is required to overthrow nations and kingdoms. He had one objective and one method, and that was preaching and speaking the words of God accurately, clearly, and boldly. And through that preaching, he says, you are over nations, you are over kingdoms, you will pluck up, you will break down, you will destroy, you will overthrow, you will build, and you will plant, all through preaching clear, accurate, bold words of God. That's why this was the first part of Jesus' mission. Because Jesus is doing the same thing Jeremiah is doing. I think we can agree that Jesus did it better than Jeremiah. When Jesus came, the primary thing that he did was preach. Yes, of course, there were the miracles that followed. There was the power that followed, all of that. But if you notice, the process that really comes is this. Jesus would preach and faith would rise in people. And as faith would rise in people, then there would be outward results that would happen in their life, often healings, miracles, power that would come in their life. But it came as a result of preaching the word of God. So he would preach, and the light and the revelation of God's word would come into their mind, and everything would change from there. I mean, I think it was Wednesday night, we read about Cornelius in the book of Acts. And Cornelius was not following Christ. He believed in God, but he had not heard of Jesus. And the Bible says that he was praying, he was giving alms generously, so he was a godly person, but he did not know about Jesus. Well, you know, he has a vision, and God connects him with Peter and all that. Peter comes, Peter brings the message of the gospel. And all of a sudden, Cornelius, and the Bible says his entire household and all of his servants and family members, everyone involved, is baptized. Well, first of all, saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you think that it set that family on a different direction? From what? Peter came, Peter gave a simple message. That message was received by faith, and everything changed for that family. That's the power of the truth that Jesus came to bring. This is why this is the biggest and first part of the life and mission of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to bring pure truth straight from the throne of God. He came to bring us nothing missing, nothing tampered with, nothing contaminated in any way, just pure truth straight from the throne of God. And that's why he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I can't add opinion to that. I can't add in any you know, anything that's going to dilute it, or I can't dial it back and make it softer than what God is saying. I have to put it exactly as he said it. Do you understand the responsibility that Jesus had to do that, and that we have that same responsibility? I'm not going to get up here and give you a lot of conjecture and opinion. I'm going to do my best to give you the Word of God. I'm not going to get up here and make it softer than what Jesus made it. I can't do that. If I do that, I'm being what the Scripture calls a hireling, someone that's doing their job, and they're not doing it for the right reasons. They're not a true shepherd. But it's for all believers that our mentality and our position has to be, we're here on this earth still to spread light, and we only do that by taking exactly what he said and transmitting that out. You know, when people ask questions that they struggle with, well, would a loving God really send people to hell? They say things like that. Well, what are you going to do when you get a question like that? You're going to change it? You're going to alter it? You're going to soften it in some way? Or are you just going to say what Jesus said? Because he talked about this issue. You know, when people say, well, you know, if a loving God, how's their sin? How's their wickedness in the world? Or, you know, what does he think about these certain sins and this? And, you know, well, Jesus never spoke on this sin or whatever. And all the things that people, all the nonsense, all the deception that is out there. As believers, what are we going to do? What really are our options? You know, I can tell you what I've decided to do and what I pray and hope that you've decided to do, because it begins with accepting and acknowledging that I might not be popular and accepted for saying this, but I would rather please God than please man. Amen. So you got to make that decision up front. I do my best, not saying I'm perfect at this, I'm still human, but I do my best to not even concern myself with how people are going to receive it or not receive it. That if that begins to enter into your mind, I think you're already off track. Because there's, again, the soil changes. You got people that are receiving, you got people that won't, you got people that reject it, people that won't. That's not my job. That's not your job. Our job is to be faithful to the Word of God and what Jesus told us to do. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus, again, talking about this part of his mission. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, if you study Jesus' teaching, you will realize that primarily what he is talking about here, he is not talking about consequences that we're going to experience in this life, even though that's how this is interpreted many times when people read it. They read this and they think what he is saying is that you're going to build your life on the rock, And so the natural things that we have, like your marriage and your relationship and your life will be founded on the rock. And so when the winds come and the storm comes and all of that, then it'll be solid and your life won't fall apart and you'll be able to persevere. But if you hear these words of mine and you don't do them, then it's like you're on the sand. And so the difficult times of this life are going to come and everything's going to fall apart. Your marriage is going to fall apart. Your family's going to fall apart. You know, everything's going to fall apart because your life was built on the sand. Now, all of that is 100% true, except that's not typically how Jesus taught. It's very rare that Jesus taught about the consequences of this life like that, because he's not as interested in this life as much as he is the next. Generally, when he gave parables, it was pointing us to the next life. And it was pointing us to understand the seriousness of the consequences for the next life. As we take the whole counsel of God and we read through all of Scripture, what we find is that it's not enough to just start well, but we have to finish well. We have to, as the Scripture says, endure all the way to the end. And I believe primarily everything we just said is true about the here and the now and the temporal. Absolutely, that applies and that is correct. But I think there's something bigger going on here, because Jesus talks about a day that many people are going to stand before him and they are going to be convinced and they are going to think that their life was built on the rock. And it's only in that moment they're going to find out that it was built on the sand. He said, not everyone who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only he that does the will of my Father. That's the same thing he's talking about here. Those that hear the word and then they do it. They hear the word and they live it. They hear the word and they apply it. They hear the word and they treasure it. They hear the word and they adapt their lives to it. They build their lives around it. And so that on that day when we stand before God, our lives are built on the rock. Amen. We've endured all the way to the end. This idea in Scripture is presented multiple times. Okay, and I'm not telling you this to scare you. Look, I know people don't like thinking about this. If you're saved, if you're born again by the power and the blood of Jesus and you're following Christ, hey, your eternity's secure. Praise God. But there is a type of person that hears the word, they grow in knowledge of the word, they're hearing the truth, but they're never adjusting or adapting their life to it. For them, that is a false religion. That is false hope and that is false security. The purpose of the truth, the purpose of Jesus bringing light and revelation to us, is so that we will change and adapt our behavior. That is what we just talked about. Our mind and our hearts change. We begin to live differently. Actually, the Bible warns very strongly against a person who constantly hears and sees light and revelation and then they never change. He says that person is actually deceiving themselves, because they are hearers of the word and they are not doers of the word. They are deceiving themselves. How? Well, they're deceiving themselves in a couple different ways. They're deceiving themselves, one, because they think that they're right with God and they're not. That'd be the biggest in the first way. And also, they're deceiving themselves because the more that you hear the truth and yet don't repent and don't change, he says you're hardening your heart. And it becomes more and more difficult to repent the longer you do that. Okay, this is the teaching in Scripture. The more you hear the truth and you stiffen your neck, the Bible says, one way it says it, you stiffen your neck, you don't repent and you don't change, you don't adjust to it. He says your heart is hardening, and that makes it more and more difficult to repent. Now, repentance is always available to every person, but remember, repentance is a gift. Repentance is a gift from the Holy Spirit. No one can truly repent without the work and the operation of the Holy Spirit in their life. And when your heart is hard and you've rejected that over and over, it becomes more difficult. So what Jesus is really saying here, let me read it again. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Praise God. How many of you, when you show up on Judgment Day, You want to know for sure that your life was built upon the rock. Praise God. Let the wind come. Let the storms come. Let the rain come. Let it all come. My life is built on the rock. Amen. And he says, the rain fell, the winds, floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish person who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Over and over, Jesus explains the critical nature of the truth and the revelation of God coming into our life and us receiving it by faith and then applying it and responding to it in our lives. This was the mission of Jesus. This was the whole reason he came, was to bring this light into the world. How important is this job and role that we have? Because as I said now, I mean, when Jesus was leaving, one of the things he told us was, he said, you are the light of the world. We know he was the light of the world, but then he tells us that we are the light of the world. This is now our job as the church of Jesus Christ, is to continue spreading this message. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the situation of our world. And I have, over the years, I have watched some interviews and documentaries and things on North Korea. I'm sure many of you have done the same. It's a very familiar situation to most of us, the nation of North Korea. North Korea is an isolated nation where the dictators of that nation, they control all the information that happens in that nation, right? For the average and common citizen, they are not allowed to have anything from the outside whatsoever. They are not allowed to have a newspaper. They're not allowed to have a book. They're not allowed to have the internet. And so they understand this principle almost better than the church sometimes. I mean, sometimes I think North Korea and places like that, they understand what we're talking about this morning. They understand the power of truth and information coming in. So the way that they control people is by keeping them in the darkness. They've created this sort of iron wall that no information is allowed in, because they know if you get your hands on just one book, if you get your hands on just one article from the outside world that reveals the real situation of the world, that these people could rise up instantly and start a rebellion in this nation. So they control it, and they control it, and they monitor it. And if they find any little bit of information from the outside world in your home, you can be executed. And it's a very serious situation, as many of us know. So all television, radio, newspapers are state-run and only broadcast government-approved content. The internet is completely blocked, with only a few high-ranking officials having access to external sites. Possessing foreign books, movies, or radios that can tune into South Korean broadcast is a serious crime, often punished with prison camps or execution. North Koreans are indoctrinated from birth to believe that their leaders are godlike figures. They are taught that South Korea is impoverished and ruled by the U.S. and that the outside world is full of suffering. So it's a complete deception, and it's all lies. And so they're living in poverty. They're living under hunger. They're living under oppression because they live in darkness and they do not know the truth. And I think about the mission of Jesus. And I compare it to this because we can understand this with North Korea, like the conditions that they're living in and how it is that they're living in that way. And what it would be like to have a Jesus figure that could show up in that world and say, everything is a lie. Everything that you've been taught from birth is wrong. Here's what the world is really like. Here's what's really happening in the U.S. Here's who your leaders really are. That's what Jesus came on the scene to do. Can you see why they tried to kill him? Because he began to expose the darkness. He began to expose the darkness and say, even the religious leaders, he began to expose and he said, the people that you thought were bringing you light are actually keeping you in the darkness. And he began to expose our own hearts. He began to expose the works of Satan. He began to expose the kingdom of darkness. And so everything was in a panic. And they said, we got to kill this man. We cannot let this type of truth come, because if people get a hold of this truth, it will completely change the way that we live. And guess what? They'll be free, and we will not be able to enslave them anymore. So when it comes to North Korea, for example, one of the things that the South Koreans do and other democratic nations is that they will send balloons filled with pamphlets, USB drives, and radios across the border. They'll put helium balloons and they'll tighten them, and they know that that'll pop and that'll drop, and maybe somebody will come and they'll find a little piece of light that can say, you're living in a lie. This isn't really how things are. And so they send across little glimmers of light and hope and truth in hope that somebody will find it, and that little piece of information will come into their mind and do what? Completely change everything for them. If someone who's living under those conditions, if they just found one little pamphlet, the little, you know, we call it a tract in the Christian world, but a little pamphlet that just explains the situation. This is how the world is. This is who your leaders are. This is what's really happening in the outside world. In some cases, that can undo a lifetime of lies that have come into that person's mind. Just a little spark of truth to go, whoa, wait, what if it's not the way I always thought it was? And I'm trying to say that this is how Jesus came into our world. And even though the light of the gospel has spread, the light of the gospel has gone around the world, this is still the situation that we're living in. And how selfish of us if we have the light and we're not spreading it. How selfish of us if we were the ones coming out of North Korea, right? And we'd experienced freedom and we're walking in the light. We know it, and we're looking around every day and people are still in darkness, just like zombies, just walking around. And you have the light that you can bring into their life, and you can just spread a little bit of light here, a little bit of light there. Little bit of light here, little bit of light there. Just spread the light that Jesus brought into the world. It's what he died for. It's what he came for. His whole mission was to bring truth into this world. And we've received that light, and so many of us, we just tuck it away. We do exactly what he told us not to do. We light the candle, we put it under a bushel, we put it under a basket, and we just keep it to ourselves. And he said, no, nobody lights a candle and puts it under a basket. He said they put it on a stand for the whole world to see. And that's what we're called to do. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in their case, talking about those who are still in darkness, it says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is no longer just God's mission. This is our mission to pick up. Okay? Whatever part you have with your local church, however big or small that is, you're participating in that mission, okay? Every time you give, every time you serve, every time you're part of a life group, every time you encourage another believer, you're participating in the mission that this church has picked up to spread the light of the gospel. I know we can lose that focus sometimes. You know, I know we can lose that focus of what we're really doing here. But we are fulfilling a mission. We have picked up our part of the mission to spread the light of Jesus Christ. But it's not just, you know, letting the church do it, the organization of the church. It's us as individuals, everywhere we go, spreading that light and bringing that light out and picking up the mission of Jesus Christ. Amen.